I don't need it. Oh, praise the Lord. Is anyone glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? All right. Praise the Lord. You know, I feel like David all the time. I was glad when they said unto me, what? Let us go where? Unto the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Daniel, the third chapter. We're going to start at the 17th verse, read the 17th and 18th verses. Daniel, the third chapter, the word says, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise your name, Lord. Father, we're so thankful that we can depend on you to deliver us. And that, Father, that even when we face trials and temptations, that you, Lord, are the one we look to. That you are the one that will deliver us. That you are the one we can count on because you were faithful to us. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. I've titled my message this morning, Embrace the Fire. Embrace the Fire. Now, most of us probably know this story. The three Hebrew children, in this part of the scripture, it calls them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but I like to call them Ananias, Azariah, and Mishael, because that was their Hebrew names. That was their God-given names. The other names were given by the world, by the conqueror, King Nebuchadnezzar and his court. So every time I say Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, know that I'm just speaking their Hebrew names. I don't know about anybody else, but I don't care what other name the world wants to give me. I'm going to go by the name that God gives me. Amen? I'm going to go walk in the faith that God gives me. So we find as they come into this particular part of their life, we have Ananias, Azariah, and Mishael. And they've already established in the kingdom their faith. Way back in the first chapter, they established their faith before King Nebuchadnezzar. But King Nebuchadnezzar had a slight problem. He didn't see things through spiritual eyes. And he didn't recognize God. Even though he said he did, he didn't really recognize God. That's the way the world is, amen? How many of you remember a few weeks ago, I shared with you that the world cannot understand the things of the Spirit because they are spiritually discerned. And that's what was going on with King Nebuchadnezzar. And as so much of the world does, you know, he thought he was something. I'm king. You know, I'm the big guy. I'm the one. And so he builds this statue. And as he builds this statue, he puts out a decree that at every time you hear all these instruments playing, when you hear it, when the statue's done, I want you to bow down to it and worship it. Now, how many of you know God tells us to worship no idols? Amen? And so King Nebuchadnezzar, he finishes this statue and he brings it out for everybody to see. And he calls the kingdom. He calls all the elders in his kingdom. And you realize that Ananias, Azariah, and Mishael were elders in his kingdom. They sat in rule. Why? Because God had given them favor in the kingdom. And he recognized that. He just didn't recognize God. Our world is like that today. They just don't recognize God. I love what Dan said. When we walk into a place, Jesus walks in there with us. Amen? When we walk into a place, the spiritual atmosphere always changes. When we walk into a place, we take the Spirit of God with us everywhere we go. It doesn't just come upon us when we come into the church. It's every single place we go. Ananias, Azariah, Mishael, they understood that. And everything they did was to honor God. So they're called to this big gathering. They're called to this big gathering, and there stands the golden image. Now picture this in your mind. They'd already made up their mind what they were going to do. They did it from the moment they went into captivity. They didn't go into captivity and say, well, we're going to make the best of this and we're going to, you know, try not to rock the boat so maybe they won't see us, maybe we'll live. They stood right from the very beginning and they established their faith. So they're brought into this big crowd. Picture this in your mind, folks, because this is important. The instruments start playing. And everybody drops down to their knees. And everybody gets low, and they start worshiping this image. But Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, who already established where they stood, stood up tall and said, we're not going to do it. We're not going to worship that idol. Because we serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You think they didn't stand out like sore thumbs? Here's everybody bowed down, and these three men just standing tall and proud. Not worrying about the king's decree. Not worrying about the fact that the king said, I'm going to throw you into a fiery furnace. They already knew. But you see, the world couldn't put fear upon them. There's nothing the world can do to us. But so often, we see the fire down the road and we back off. We say, well, maybe I'll just be quiet. Well, maybe I just won't share my testimony right now. Maybe I just won't talk about Jesus because I'm in school. Maybe I just won't talk about Jesus because I'm in the city council room. And I know they got deputies out there that are going to escort me out if I do. But see, Ananias, Azariah, Mishael, they already established where they were. And so they were standing tall. And just like the rest of us, the accuser of the brethren comes up, the enemy, and he starts accusing them. And they go to the king. And they say, King, wasn't this your decree that everyone bows down? Wasn't this what you said was going to happen? Oh, puffing the king up, making the king feel like he's being disrespected, making the king feel like his word didn't count, making the king angry. And King Nebuchadnezzar, he stands up and the word says that he's angry. Oh, but just like the world, King Nebuchadnezzar goes to him and, all right, you three, I'm going to give you one more chance. I'm going to give you one more chance, but you better bow down to my idol. And that's where we pick up this story. That's where we pick it up. And Ananias, Azariah, Mishael, they look at the king and they say, "Oh, king," not with disrespect. They were respecting who he was. But they were respecting the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords above him. Amen? Somebody ought to be shouting about now. They were respecting the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They weren't worried about their life. They said, "Oh, king, we know you can throw us into that fiery furnace. But I'll tell you what. I serve a God that can deliver me. I serve a God that can keep me out of your hand. I serve a God that I know is stronger than you." Oh, I'll tell you what, when I read this story, it excites me because I know that I have the ability to stand when the world is trying to destroy me. Okay, guys, I'm going to give you one more chance. So he goes up there, and the king, and all of a sudden is... And everybody drops down again, except Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, and they stand up bold before the king. Oh, I tell you, I wish I was that bold. I wish, you know, every time I face the fire, I pray that God, you'll give me the strength to stand where you want me to stand. But they stood. And that really made the king mad. Oh, I tell you, that really made the king mad. And the king, he says, "Oh, you guys, I'm mad. And I'm not only mad, I'm going to increase the fire." Now, I don't know how you make a fire hotter than hot. But he increased the fire. And as he increases the fire, he tells his strongest guards, you know, the big guys, "Bind these guys up." And they wrap them with ropes. I guess they thought they were going to run away. But they just didn't know the God of Ananias, Azariah, and Mishael. They weren't going to run anywhere because they were embracing the fire. Long before they ever faced the fire, they were embracing it. You see, if we don't make our decision long before we embrace that we see the fire, we will never embrace the fire because we've never made the decision. So they bind them up. I don't know whether it was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guards. Who cares? All I know is that the king said, "Put them in that fire," and they started marching them there. There's not a suggestion in the Bible anywhere that Ananias, Azariah, and Mishael resisted in any way, shape, or form because they were embracing the fire. And as they go, all of a sudden, they're being marched. And whether the opening was down below or straight ahead, I don't know. I've seen pictures of both. Who knows how it was? But I know that they were bound up. And as they were bound up with their hands probably behind their back, and they were going on, and they had their entire clothes on, and they were bound, and all of a sudden, the guard stopped pushing them. When the guard stopped pushing them, I just kind of get the idea that maybe they look behind them. What's going on? Did the king change his mind? What's going on here? The guard stopped pushing us in. The spears are no longer at our back, or however it happened. And they look back and the guards are dead behind them. Woo! That ought to shout. That ought to cause a shout. They were facing the fire, and the guards that were going to put them in, they're dead behind them. Now here's where it gets interesting. Here's where it gets really interesting. They're still bound up. The guards are dead behind them. They got nobody pushing them in the fire. I don't know about you, but I think about me, and I'm wondering if I wouldn't have just turned around and walked back away from that fire. I'm wondering if I would have just not walked out of there and said, King, see, I told you so. But that's not what they did. Ananias, Azariah, Mishael, they started walking into that flame and they just kept on going. And as they were walking into that flame, all of a sudden their bounds were gone. All of a sudden, they were free. They were walking in the fire, free. And King Nebuchadnezzar gets this sight. He stands up and he says, oh, my lands. Oh, my. Didn't we throw 3 men in this fire? Woo, I'll tell you what. King Nebuchadnezzar, he stands up and he says, I know I threw 3 in there, but I see 4 walking. And the 4th is like the Son of Man. That's Jesus Christ was in the middle of the flames with them. He didn't abandon them to the flames. He was delivering them from those flames. But if they'd have never went into the flames, they would have never experienced the deliverance. Amen? Yeah. Woo, I'll tell you. This is one story that really excites me. In case you couldn't figure that out. I get excited when I read about it. Because I know that Jesus is always with me. His spirit lives inside me. And I know that the world wants to destroy me. The world wants to destroy you. If they can't destroy your physical body, they'll try to destroy your testimony. Amen? They'll try to whisper, did you see what Pastor Mark did? Let them look. Because I've made a stand. I will not fall. By the grace of God, I will never fall. I'm not saying I can't. I'm saying I won't. There's a difference. Amen? I don't allow myself to be put in compromising positions. I don't allow myself to be in places where I shouldn't be. Because I know the world wants to destroy my testimony. The enemy likes nothing more than to be able to get these big headlines. Pastor does this. Worship leader does this. Sunday school teacher does this. You see how the church is. Well, here's 3 men that showed how the church is. They stood tall and they embraced the fire. In John, the 15th chapter, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. In verse 17, he says, these things I command you, that you love one another. How often do we talk about that around here? Loving our neighbors, loving our enemies, loving each other. I command you, you love one another. See, when the world sees that love, they don't have an answer for it. The world's love is just totally fake. It's false. But our love comes through the Father, through the Son, through the Holy Spirit inside of us. And it causes us to see things differently. It causes us to see the fire and not be afraid. It causes us to not only see the fire and not be afraid, but to see the fire, and when things are a little bit lax on us, that we can continue to walk right to that fire until we're embraced in the middle of it. But he didn't stop there. Because Jesus said, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you were not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. You see, Jesus is trying to warn his disciples, the world hates you. The world wants to destroy you. But if you stay in me and you allow my love to just completely infiltrate every cell of your body, if you allow my love to be the only thing the world sees, they're going to hate you, yes. They're going to persecute you, yes. But guess what? Jesus also said, be of good cheer. I have what? Overcome the world, amen? I've overcome it. Rejoice in suffering, amen? But see, we see the fire and we let fear start giving us all the excuses. Oh, I can't talk too well. I think Moses said that one. Oh, you know, I'm not this, I'm not that. I'm not educated, I'm not good looking. I'm too tall, I'm too short, I'm too fat, I'm too skinny. Whatever the excuses are. Because if we want to find an excuse, we'll find it, amen? It's just the way it is. If we want to find an excuse, we'll find it. But if we embrace the fire, if we make that choice long before the fire is ever kindled, if we make that choice within our hearts, when the fire is kindled and we begin to face it, that will already be in our hearts. We'll already know what our answer is. And just like those three Hebrew children, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, we'll be standing tall when all the rest bow down. Somebody shout amen. Woo! I'll tell you. I don't want to be one that even, you know, I'm a little guy. I could get by with this. Everybody bowed down. It don't work that way. It don't work that way. Everybody bows down. I want to stand up tall. Just like when I was in the military and stood at attention. I want to stand tall and say, I'm standing for Jesus, my Lord. Nothing that you can do can harm me because I serve a God who's a delivering God. And you know what? If you do harm this body, guess what? You can't touch my soul. You see, we're so scared about what happens to the body when we really ought to be thinking about the soul. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. I might get through this. What do you know? Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Verse 29 says, for our God. Whose God? Our God. What God we serve? For our God is a consuming fire. You see, we're scared of the world's fire. I'm scared of God's fire. Amen? Some people don't like to hear that hell is real, that hell is hot. It's still there. I don't serve God out of fear. I serve Him out of love. But boy, some people Some people just don't want to hear that hell is still there. And if I believed that, I'd be preaching that. Amen? I think I just did. Well, you see, some people, they get all upset when you talk about hell. But I'm not shy about speaking about hell, but I want to speak about the fires of God. The fire that consumes me. The fire that as I walk into it, surrounds me, gets inside of me, cleanses me, washes me, takes those chains that the world has bound me with and breaks them off. Allows me to walk freely with Him. So that when I stand before Him, I'll be like the three Hebrew children. Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, what does it say? The king called them out. Come out of that fire, you three. I don't understand what's going on here. Come out here. I want to talk to you. You see, when the fire of God consumes us, the world want to talk to us. They may not like what we have to say, but they'll want to talk to us because they're looking for what we have. They're looking for what we possess. Or more rightly, what possesses us. Oh, if we just get that in our spirits, allow God's fire to consume me, everything that I am, everything that I could be, everything that I want to be. If God consumes me, I don't have to worry about all the things that I'm not supposed to do. You know why? I don't have time for any of that garbage because I got the fire of God inside me. He's consumed me. He's set me free. He's taken all that garbage out of my life. And I'm free to walk around in His fire and allow Him to be seen by everyone around me. Our God is a consuming fire. But yet I know there's persecution going to come. Let's not be afraid of it. Let's embrace it. Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, they knew persecution was going to come. They heard the decree. They knew. They stood tall. They stood tall. Why? Because their mind was already made up. God had already consumed them. They didn't have anything left for the world. Oh, that's where I want to be, amen? Anybody with me there? That's where I want to be. I want to have no place for the world in my life. I want to have nothing that the world can give me. Because the world can take it away, amen? But they can't take away what God has given me. See, casual Christianity does this. It says, let me read this quote. I wish I knew who quoted this. I don't. How loose can I stay, or how loose can I stay to God without changing? But real faith asks this: what needs to change in my life so I can walk closer to Him? What needs to change in my life so that the world sees His fire? What needs to change in my life so that when the tribulation comes, now, I'm not talking about the last time tribulation. I'm talking about troubles. When trials and troubles come, what needs to change in my life so that when I face the fire, I'm willing to walk in the fire, bound with all my clothes on, whatever the case is, knowing that God will deliver me. But if He doesn't physically, I know He's already done it spiritually. I know that if He destroys this body, can't destroy my soul. If he destroys this body, the next second I'm going to be standing before him. I'm going to be looking at him face to face. That's when I'm going to bow down. That's when I'm going to get on my knees and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because you were strong and you helped me to face the fire, embrace the fire, to walk through it. And now I'm here with you. And oh, I'll tell you what. That's the only thing I look for. That's the only thing I look for. 1 John 5. Verses 1 through 3. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him, that begot, loveth him also, that is begotten of him. Excuse me. Did you hear what that said? I don't have a choice. I love you guys. You don't have a choice. You got to love me. Because that's what the Word says. We love those who are begotten of him. But it's really even deeper than that. We love those that are in the world also. So we ought to be telling them about his love. By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Oh, and his commandments are not grievous. Oh, but you don't understand. My flesh wants to do this. Crucify the flesh. Be consumed by the fire of God. Your flesh won't want to do it anymore. Scripture talks about us being more than overcomers. You know what? This is some hixology for you. You know, hixology this is what I believe. If you don't want to believe it, that's okay. It doesn't change anything in our walk with God. I believe what Paul is talking about when he says we can be more than overcomers. Is that means when I get to the place that my flesh no longer wants to do the things my flesh used to want to do, that my flesh only wants to do the things that God wants me to do, that my flesh sees the fire of God and embraces it, that my flesh is consumed by the fire of God. Anybody here want to be an overcomer? Anybody want to be more than an overcomer? You see, when those things have no power over me, I am more than an overcomer because Jesus Christ has conquered those things in my life. So I can embrace the fire. I can embrace the fire. I can see it. I can know it's coming. I can say, Lord, I'm not sure I'm strong enough to go through this, but I know through you I am. How many of you know about Fox's Book of Mortars? You know, they talk about all the Christians they know of that have given their life for the Lord. And there's a story in there about one man. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. If somebody knows it, shout it out. But he's been convicted. And the church has condemned him to burn at the stake. And so he tries it again. Pulls it back. He says, God, I don't know if I can do this or not. Give me strength because I don't know if I can do it. Well, I'm here to tell you, in ourselves, in our flesh, we can't do it. We can't embrace the fire. But when the fire of God has already embraced us, we can do it. That same man walked to the stake. They tied him up. They lit the fire. And he started singing praises unto God, if I remember correctly. That's the way we need to be, church. No matter what we face, we sing praises unto God. Instead of seeing the fire afar off and saying, oh my, I don't know if I can do it or not. When we've already made that choice in our life, when we've already been consumed by the fire of God, when all that garbage is washed away and we're free, we can do it. We can do it. And when we do, when we walk into those places, like Dan said earlier, the spirit of that entire room will change. Why? Because we walked in, but it's not us. It's the Holy Spirit in us, and people notice. If we could have our prayer team come forward.